listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Wow, we spoke about the poor man's Leonardo DiCaprio, or Leo DiCaprio, as I love to call him, really shifting any blame apart from any personal responsibility on himself for not being successful. And blaming the pandemic. I mean, who would blame the pandemic in this day and age? We also started our annual Danny Lakey yearly track down. Which forgotten TV moment will be rehashed through the annals of time and thrown back into the spotlight against whoever's will? Well, we got suggestions. There'll be no answers in this podcast. That's to come. Spoke about Barnaby Joyce and his strong words for Emmanuel Macron. But right now, Line of Duty star's daughter proposal didn't go to plan after police were called. Oh, no. Oh, I hope wedding bells are still in the air. Oh, I love weddings. Oh, j'adore le wedding.
As useless as a limp dick on a wedding night.
Don't know how that got in there. The daughter of Line of Duty Superintendent Ted Hastings, a.k.a. actor Adrian Dunbar. Okay, I have no idea what any of that means. If you do, more power to you. If not, don't worry, it's not important. The daughter has revealed her marriage proposal back in June of this year really didn't go to plan. Madeleine Dunbar, 35, got down on one knee outside the Oxo Tower in London. Oh, I know the tower well. To ask her boyfriend Callum Lazenby Todd, for his hand in marriage, which, as nice as that may sound, was followed with a warning from security guards saying that they were going to call the cops. Unfortunately, the romantic moment had passed and police were called to the scene as the pair were accused of trespassing on a jetty on the River Thames. Dunbar picked the spot because it was where the couple had their first kiss. However, she hadn't realised the area was closed off. She said, "I was really nervous as I'd been waiting on this jetty for an hour. Callum sat down next to me. I got out the ring from a jewellery bag, but I was down on my knee declaring my love for this man when I heard a security guard shouting at us, telling us we were not supposed to be there and that they were calling the cops." She added, "I just started bawling. I was crying and crying and crying because the moment was spoilt. But Callum said, 'Don't worry. Yes, I'll marry you.' And he let me put the ring on his finger." Yes! Yes, wedding bells! Love that. Love that. I just love love, though, so that makes sense. Tell you what else I love. I love that she proposed to him. I love that she's flicked the switch. I love that she's flipped the script. I love that she thought, you know what? To hell with these archaic rules. To hell with the traditional patriarch getting down on one knee, spending all that money on a diamond ring and asking for wedlock. No, I'm going to rewrite the rules. She wouldn't be the first person to do that as well. It's quite a celebrity thing. Reading up here, Pink and Carey Hart. Pink got down on one knee. Yeah, that's such a Pink thing to do, isn't it? Pink would do that. What a Pink power play.
Yeah, but Danny, she did it so rock star because obviously she's married to Carey Hart, who's the motocross dude.
Mm.
And she just got on the track, held up a sign and said, "Will you marry me?" I mean, that's hot. How could you say no to that?
Oh, unbelievable. So Pink, so cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, Pink. So what? I love it.
Danny, would you want a woman to propose to you?
That's the only way she's going to marry me.
Really? You're not going to put a ring on anyone's finger?
It has always been my dream to have the vision of a lady down on one knee with a diamond ring, placing it elegantly on my ring finger and asking, "Will doth marry?" Which I say, yeah, fair play. Yeah, I will do now. I like it. I like a power play. I like a girl who knows what she wants. It makes no sense that guys are doing it all the time.
Yeah, true. That's pretty hot. I like that. But my question is, when it comes to the diamond ring, I would love a black diamond. What kind of diamond are you looking for?
Probably a blood diamond, I'd say. I don't know. I don't know much about diamonds.
Okay, you need to see the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio called Blood Diamond before you make the decision.
Yeah, maybe. Judge Judy, she's gotten down on one knee. She proposed to her husband, Jerry Shinlin. It's a real Judge Judy thing to do as well. You'd expect nothing less. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. Apparently, Britney got down on one knee. I think that was more out of desperation. But I just love that people are doing this. I wonder if people are doing it. I wonder if anyone out there is a lady who got down and proposed to her man, got sick of waiting around, said, "You know what? Let me put destiny in my own hands." Or if you're a bloke and the missus proposed to you. Oh, my God.
Dear the lady.
Proposed to you.
Whoa, 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 dear the lady.
Get down on one knee and propose.
The
great
great power players. 133353. Does it exist? I've heard that you can do it on the 29th of February, which is once every 4 years for that leap year. Not frequent enough, if you ask me.
Do you think it has something to do with the anniversary? You know, because obviously, you know, leap years are far and few between.
I just think it's like a cute little date to keep the genders the way they are. That, yeah, we'll allow it, but once every 4 years, not enough. Every day is a day to propose to your man, ladies. 133353. Is there anyone? Do you know of any stories? Or does it not exist? We do have a lady who likes to take the bull by the horns. Get on the front foot. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Danny.
Sounds like it. Confidence in spades. Doesn't surprise me. What happened? You proposed to your man?
I did. February 29. Leap year.
Oh, yeah. I know. I knew that thing was royal. I knew it wasn't imagining it. I knew I read it somewhere. I'll probably refrain from the wedding bells, actually, till I get a confirmation he did say yes.
He said yes. He said he didn't want to embarrass me in front of everyone.
On with the bells. It is a bit like that. I almost feel, even if I didn't quite want to marry the person who got down on one knee, I would feel like I at least had to say yes at the time. Sometimes you see those public no's, the public shamings where a proposal gone wrong. I'm like, who are you, you monster? Just say yes now and let them down in the privacy. But he obviously said yes and he meant yes as well. So talk us through. What happened? What was the plan?
Well, the plan was to surprise him because he has asked me twice before, but he's been drunk. So I did it sober. And I've said no. So I had a cake with yes. He said yes. He said no. I had a cake either way.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, just surprised him with a pizza night and a pop-up party. I even surprised my friends, except for the ones in on it, and opened up some pizza boxes. Darren, will you marry me? And I was on one knee at the end, and he said yes.
Yes, Darren. And it's only fair as well. I mean, he's gone through the trouble of getting shit-faced twice and asking you. So it's the least you could probably do at the end. Good. Love that story. Love. Just love. Paul in Victoria, hello.
How you going?
Good. Your wife proposed to you.
Yeah. I bloody shit myself. I was at work and I said, she rang me over the phone and I said, look, we'll talk about this when we get bloody home. And we'll be married 25 years later.
Yes. So there was no official yes or no at time of knee. There was just it's a soft maybe at this stage. I'm going to think through a few things. And why was it that let's talk about this when we get home? Just pure shock or there was too many people around? It all happened so quick?
I bloody shit myself.
Oh, bloody ripper. It is good. It's inspiring is what it is. And it gives me hope in a perfect world. Baseball game for me, I think, in the States. Kiss cam.
Take note, ladies.
Yeah, I think we're about to go for a kiss. A lady just tucks her hair behind her ears, gets down on one knee. Whole stadium cheering. Pulls out a ring, puts it on my slender digit. And love thy happily ever after. I mean, a guy can dream, right?
The Danny Lakey Show Catch Up Podcast.
I like this headline. We didn't deface the Eiffel Tower, says Barnaby Joyce as he slams French president's comments about Scott Morrison. Oh, going into bat, Barnaby. The acting prime minister has said he hopes the French president can get over the ditch submarine deal and move on following his strong comments about Australia and Scott Morrison. I'm getting sick of the submarine sulking. It's a submarine deal. Don't worry about it. We've got better ones. Settle down, France. These things happen from time to time. Mr. Joyce said Mr. Morrison had every right to pull out of the contract in circumstances that would benefit Australia's national interest. Well, if it's in our national interest, then I bloody approve it, is what I do. Adding that he hoped France would get over this and move on. Oh, Macron's pissed. He's very offended. Settle down, mate. Oh, but my heart, it's broken. A million pieces. Eat some petit miam and shut up. Barnaby's gone in to bat for ScoMo while ScoMo's overseas. There's a whole furore going on there. The furore's still happening here. Bloody submarine deal.
It was a contract. We didn't steal an island. We didn't deface the Eiffel Tower. It was a contract. And contracts have terms and conditions. And one of those terms and conditions and propositions is that you might get out of the contract.
Yeah, I love that there's a truck unloading coal in the background during that press conference. And it didn't stop there. Barnaby Joyce went even further in question time.
Under standing order 43, questions without notice. The Deputy Prime Minister has the floor.
We didn't steal an island, Mr. Speaker. We didn't deface the Eiffel Tower. It was a contract. We didn't
piss on the Mona Lisa. We didn't vomit on the Louvre. We didn't shit ourselves at Disneyland Paris, Mr. Speaker.
Order. The House will come to order.
We didn't serve frog's legs at a French restaurant knowing that these specific frog's legs may be contaminated with salmonella. It was just a contract.
The member for Brown will take his seat.
We didn't pour bechamel sauce all over the interior of a Renault car, Mr. Speaker. We didn't bottle up goon and claim it was from the Champignon region. We didn't cheat on our partner with a government staff member, Mr. Speaker.
Order.
We didn't ash our cigarette into a beret. We didn't put Vegemite on a croissant. We didn't...
The member for Charleston.
We didn't leave out a wheel of camembert overnight, Mr. Speaker. We didn't knock over the Peloton with a cardboard sign during the Tour de France. It was just a contract. We didn't pick the escargot out of our ratatouille, Mr. Speaker.
Pucks.
We didn't illegally download a film directed by Gerard Depardieu, Mr. Speaker. We didn't shave off a Frenchman's moustache when he was passed out, Mr. Speaker.
Remain seated.
We didn't do a nudie run on stage during a Moulin Rouge performance, Mr. Speaker.
Order.
Oh, we did it.
Order. The House will come to order.
Danny Lakey on Triple M.
It is that time of year where the Danny Lakey Show looks to extend olive branches, forgotten moments in Aussie media history, whether it be on screen, whether it be on the radio, whether it be on air, whether it be off air, something that sticks that people just scratch their heads, go, I wonder whatever happened to that guy or girl? Whatever happened? Who could forget in 2018 where it all kicked off? The Danny Lakey Show successfully tracked down Lube Mobile Boy, the guy with the mullet who smiles into the camera saying 13, 30, 32. It took a while, but we got him in the end and a lot of press coverage at that. In 2019, we were back. Bigger and better than ever with a vengeance. We wanted to track down the Paul's Milk Lady. Low fat, no fat, full cream, high calcium, high protein, soy. Turns out she was a member of the Greek Orthodox Church and actually passed away, which was unfortunate. Not all track downs end in fairy tales. We were back bigger and ever again with a vengeance in 2020. Last year, who could forget when we tracked down the McCain Corn Cobbets girl. Marge, the reins are here. Yeah, from that. Big moments, big moments. Looking for an even bigger moment over the next couple of weeks.
It's the show that loves to track things down.
That's 30, 30, 30.
My calcium with vitamin D and folate or extra dollop.
Marge, Marge, the reins are here.
And tonight, it does it again.
It's the yearly track down.
Yes, it is time for the yearly track down. 133353, if you've got any ideas, any targets that you'd potentially like to put a bounty on their heads, the Danny Lakey Show will do everything in its power, call on all its contacts in the industry to get to the bottom of any of the famous mysteries. This could be a famous television advert, a famous radio moment, a favourite part of screen, even a voiceover. The world really is our oyster tonight. Is there an appetite for nostalgia in 2021? I guess time will tell. I mean, for all we know, this could be dead and buried by tomorrow night. Or it could be the start of a very magical adventure. Just spitballing a couple of ideas. What about a couple of the gals, the whole choir, for the reading writing hotline?
1-300-655-06.
That's the reading writing hotline.
I mean, who were those girls?
1-300-655-06.
I'd certainly like to get to the bottom of whether it was a choir of girls, whether it was a chorus of women, or just one person with a little bit of reverb. This is an answer that could probably be found over the next couple of weeks. Or maybe perhaps something a little more highbrow. Who could forget the Great Wall reaction in the Telstra ad?
That was during the time of Emperor Nazi Goring. And it was to keep the rabbits out.
Yeah. One of the great speeches, one of the famous speeches, that holds a heavy place in all our hearts. Do we want to track down that man? Where is he now? What is he doing? Did any opportunity spawn from that? These are the answers that can be answered over the next couple of weeks. Maybe a little bit further back, a little more nostalgia, something from all our childhoods. Do we possibly look at tracking down the voice of Okie Doke? One of the great ABC children's television programs.
The friendliest of folk is Mr. Okie Doke.
Where is Okie Doke now? What is the voice of Okie Doke doing? Is he moving on to bigger things, or did he peak at Okie Doke? These are the sorts of questions that need to be asked. Louis the Fly is on the table, of course.
Hey, you pest in there! Nah, not you, kid.
I would even quite like to maybe figure out what the voiceover for Sid the Seagull is doing.
Slop, slap. It sounds like.
Did he really have that lisp or was it put on?
Slip, slop.
How old was he at time of voice recording? 133353, ideas, brainstorming session. Who needs a bounty on their head? Let's go to Luke in Altona first. Hello, Luke.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Who do you like to track down?
I think Jan from the Not Happy Jan Yellow Pages commercial.
Classic advert. We all know it. Massive back in the day. Still echoes true to this day. People, I think, still around the office every now and then when an easy mistake is missed. Yeah, Not Happy Jan. The only qualm with this. I've thought about this already. I actually did a little bit of research on the Not Happy Jan advert. It's actually voiced by Deborah Kennedy, who is an Australian actress already. And she's still getting around these days. I mean, she's in McLeod's Daughters, for goodness sake, and Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. Don't know if you watch Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries every Friday night. But she's still very much in the scene anyway. So that's the only qualm with that. Is there any nostalgia if she's still on the screen at the moment?
I'm looking for Jan, not the lady that said Not Happy Jan, because they remade the commercial and they got the boss back, Deborah Kennedy, but they had a different Jan. So I'm curious what happened to the original Jan.
I see. Sorry. This is why we need a team effort, guys, because I easily just assumed. Oh, Deborah Kennedy. No, next. Great. I'm going to put it in. Now put it on the whiteboard.
Enough.
Old original Jan. Deborah Kennedy probably has a lead or two.
Yeah.
Easy to get the first couple of steps in there. It's on the board. It's all of a sudden, it's a great suggestion. Jan's back. Jan's alive and well. Paul in Victoria. Hello. Paul.
Hello.
Paulus.
Hello.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah. The old Vegemite ad.
I thought you'd never ask. Quite literally. I'm just gauging through the archives here. Are we talking OG Vegemite? We're talking a little bit of black and white action here.
Oh, very much.
Okay, let me just see if this is the advert. I'm going to play a little snippet off YouTube. Tell me if this is the clip that you had in mind.
We're happy little Vegemites, as bright as bright.
Marching soldiers.
That's the one.
Roses in every cheek.
Yep.
Now, what are you...
Do you want me to sing it?
No, thanks. What are you thinking in terms of track down? The whole choir? Because there doesn't seem to be a raging protagonist. Oh, apart from the girl at the end there, she's eating something. Are you talking about the girl at the end, the face shot?
I reckon it was the girl at the end.
Okay, I'm just going to pause back at, 22 seconds there. Identified. Suspect identified. Got a clear read on that. It's on the whiteboard. Original Vegemite girl with rosy cheeks. Going to be hard because it's a very black and white grainy photo, but the Danny Lakey Show does love a challenge. Let's go to Lisa in South Australia. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, how you going?
Hi, what do you want to track down?
Well, first I thought of aggro, but I just thought of one that really, from when I was a kid in that, Madge from the Palmolive ad, you're soaking in it.
I'm just going to type in Madge Palmolive here. I'll tell you why no aggro. Couple of reasons. One, aggro is very much alive again. He's already started bringing his own stuff back. No one needs to drag aggro back into the media spotlight. He's always popping up. Plus, I know his son and daughter. It would be too easy.
Oh.
It would be too easy. We could have Agra on the show tonight if we wanted to, for goodness sake.
Danny, that's the first time I've ever heard you do a celebrity name drop.
Yeah, so what? I know Jamie Dunn's daughter.
You know,
I hang around in big circles. all right, but
we've got Madge, palm olive lady.
Yeah, okay, this is good.
You know the ad or not? You're
no,
probably too young.
I am too young. It started in the 70s. I've got the 1989 ad here. It's just want to double check this one. Recent.
What was the occasion, Madge?
We've redecorated.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
With these hands, you've nothing to celebrate.
Oh, no, Madge, it's dishwashing.
And you're not using palm olive. It's mild on hands while you do dishes.
So Madge looks about 45-50 there, hot as in 1989. We don't want another Paul's Milk Lady experience where we realise that Madge has passed on. I'm going to put a loose Madge on the whiteboard. If still alive and kicking.
You go to the 71, I think it was 71, in the 70s. Like she's got her fingers and you're soaking in it.
Like I said, it's an optimistic number to think that if anyone knows the whereabouts of Madge and whether it's possible or not, sure. Can you easily put that on the whiteboard? Love a good palm olive track down. One more call now. You can put all the suggestions on the Danny Lakey Show Instagram page. We will read them all and come up with some conclusion over the next couple of days. Chris in Moorabbin. Last call for now. Who do you reckon?
Good morning,
Well, g'day, mate. Well, my body's in nostalgia is there this year because we have got Katut and Rhonda telling us to get vaccinated. Oh. So nostalgia's coming back. But I'd be looking to track down the farmer that says bugger.
I think I remember that. Does he then set off a Mexican chain reaction of others saying bugger? I seem to remember a toddler then buggering after that.
Yep, and finishing off with the blue heel, I think it was, or the Kelpie saying bugger.
Yes. Oh, and it was it says here bugger, banned Toyota TV commercial. So there must have been an even naughtier version. We can get the inside scoop of that. Got to speak to Bugger Man, realise what's going on. I'll just play it. Hopefully there's no swear words in here. Bugger's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
Bugger.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Bugger me.
Yep. There's only one word for this next situation, I'm assuming.
Oh. Bugger.
Yeah. There's a lot of buggers going on. There's a lot of people that we could probably chat to regarding that as well. Great suggestion. Going to put that through. And, Rhonda and Katut, a lot of people calling through for that. They have recently came back with the Vax Up stuff. Vax up, Australia, like a sunrise. To me, that's an anti-vax ad. That almost put me off getting the jab. Bloody Rhonda, you've had your time in the sun. Great suggestions. Keep them coming through on the Danny Lakey socials. We will take all suggestions seriously and come to the conclusion. Who will be the great track down of 2021? Danny Lakey on Triple M. Guy who looked like Leonardo DiCaprio blames COVID for ruining his career. Oh, yeah, don't we all? Russian Leonardo DiCaprio doppelganger has blamed COVID-19.
After this COVID thing, like, traffic is getting so bad.
For ruining his career and causing people to forget about him. Roman Burtsev, 39. 39? He looks about 59. Obtained a degree of fame in his own right after his uncanny resemblance to the Hollywood superstar Leonardo DiCaprio. He was noticed and he made headlines around the world. Very loose. Very loose. Leo on a bad day, and even still another 10 stone after that. Speaking about the struggles he experienced, Burtsev said the coronavirus pandemic thwarted his plans for international fame. I think this is more of one of those 5 seconds of fame sort of situation. I think just because you look a little bit like a fat Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't mean you are then promised the career of Leonardo DiCaprio. This was just a little viral story. Come on, Roman Burtsev. He said, the problems began with the introduction of restrictions in April 2020, and now people have forgotten about me. While before, people in big cities would ask to pose for selfies with the lookalike, he said that the pandemic had put an end to all that. Burtsev, who said he currently lives in a two-room council flat with his parents and cats, had signed contracts with advertisers, but they pulled out after he proved he was unable to lose weight. After having to change industries and start working crypto, the DiCaprio lookalike, who had a background in IT, now dreams of being able to afford a house in Crimea. Burtsev said that he currently earns just 50,000 ruble a month, which is only $701. Oh, good luck getting a house price for that in Crimea. It's unfortunate for Burtsev. He was trying to ride a wave. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work. There is a job going, though, at Danny Lakey's meet and greet for celebrity lookalikes. Not the real celebrities, but almost the real thing. Hi there. Welcome to the A-list celebrity doppelgangers meet and greet service.
Oh, yes. Hello. We're just from out of town and we'd love to have a photo with a famous celebrity lookalike, but our budget's a little bit tight, so...
Well, we've got a special at the moment, a real-life, not-so-handsome Leonardo DiCaprio, a Russian bloke who has a slight resemblance. That's only
$5. Oh, yes. That sounds lovely. Yeah.
No worries. Just this way. Hey. Next. Hello, sir.
Hi. How much for a meet and greet with Johnny Depp dressed up as Jack Sparrow lookalike?
Ah, we do have a homeless guy who likes dressing up as a pirate. His name is Crack Sparrow. He's doing signings for $3.50.
Yep. All right. That's great. Thanks.
Great. Yeah. Next. Hi there.
Hello. We're here to see the not-so-real Kit Harington from, how you say, Game of Thrones.
Ah, yes. Shit Harington. A bloke with a slight resemblance to Jon Snow, who just yells random swear words. Would you like him?
Yes, it's just photo. If people can't tell difference, then why not?
Thank you. Next.
Two tickets to see Kevin Parker lookalike from Tame Impala, please.
Yes, of course. That's just a busker who looks like Kevin Parker from Tame Impala, but plays in a Tame Impala cover band called Lame Impala.
Yes, two tickets for him, please.
No worries. There you go. First door on your right. Next, please.
Hey there. We're after, like, a charismatic British comedian.
Oh, sure. We have a bearded bloke who looks exactly like Russell Brand, but with no sex appeal. That's Russell Homebrand. Here's a picture.
Yeah, we love a bargain. Okay, let's do Russell Homebrand. Thank you.
No worries. Would you like to see a knockoff Jennifer Aniston as well? She's actually really pretty and looks exactly like her. She does have a fungal infection, though, and is highly contagious.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I'll put you down for a ticket to see Jennifer Caniston as well.
Oh, Caniston, that brings back some memories. Mm. Something's gone horribly wrong if you're at the pharmacy asking for fungal cream.
It's athlete's foot, I swear. Daddy
Likey. Triple M.